The Biologics Price Competition and Innovation Act was signed into existence in 2010 to help drive down the price of biologics by encouraging the development of competitive biosimilars. Since then, there have been many questions around the BPCIA and the provisions for asserting and challenging relevant patents. One example is the recent Federal Circuit case, Sandoz versus Amgen, which could have significant implications for future patent challenges associated with biosimilars. Finnegan attorneys Sonia Sukduwang and Jonathan Davies join us now to discuss the current legal and regulatory landscape for biosimilars. Now, the BPCIA has been in existence since March of 2010, but only recently have companies actually submitted biosimilar applications to the FDA. In fact, on Friday, March 6th, the FDA approved the first U.S. biosimilar product, Sandoz's Zarxio, which was found to be biosimilar to Amgen Inc.'s Neupogen. John, what types of testing did the FDA require in its review of Sandoz's application for approval?
The FDA Oncological Drug Advisory Committee, or ODAC, held a committee meeting January 7th on Sandoz's proposed filgrastim biosimilar Zarxio. At the end of that hearing, the committee agreed that Zarxio was biosimilar to the U.S. reference product, which in this case is Amgen's Neupogen, and agreed that Zarxio should be approved in the U.S. Before I respond to your questions on testing, I think there's just a couple points on filgrastim, which is the molecule in the Zarxio product, that are helpful. The first point is that compared to other biologics that are currently marketed, filgrastim is relatively simple. It's a fairly small protein, and it lacks some of the modifications that are present in some of the other biologics on the market. The second point is that Zarxio has an established track record in Europe. It was previously approved as a biosimilar in Europe in, I believe, about 2009, and it's currently marketed as Zarxio in Europe. So Sandoz submitted a range of different testing, including a large amount of, I'll call it, analytical testing data that included characterization of the primary structure, the bioactivity, and the receptor binding of Zarxio. They used a range of different techniques. They also submitted data from animal studies that included toxicology and pharmacodynamic studies. And I think importantly, they also submitted data from six clinical studies, two of which actually included safety and efficacy as the endpoints in those studies. I think not surprisingly, given that this was the first biosimilar looked at in the U.S., Sandoz submitted a large amount of data, including the analytical, preclinical, as well as clinical data in support of its position that Zarxio is highly similar and lacks any clinically meaningful differences as compared to the reference product, which again is Neupogen.
John, is the FDA likely to require similar testing for future biosimilars?
The FDA has previously stated, and they reiterated this position numerous times during the hearing, that the particular nature and extent of the testing that's going to be required to support a biosimilarity is very product-specific, and it's going to be one that they consider on a case-by-case basis. Obviously, clearly, there's going to be some types of testing that may be relevant for one product, but are not going to be relevant to another product. Also, the FDA indicated again at the hearing that the extent of the later preclinical and clinical-type testing that will be required will depend at least in part on the degree to which the sponsor, in this case Sandoz, is able to characterize and show that its product is highly similar to the already approved U.S. biologic. All that being said, I think it is informative to recognize that even given the relatively simple nature of filgrastim and the amount of analytical characterization data that Sandoz submitted, they still did go forward and submit a significant amount of clinical testing data, including studies with efficacy endpoints. Now, that needs to be balanced and considered in light of the fact that this, again, was the first hearing on a biosimilar in the U.S. But even so, in my opinion at least, this was quite a bit of data that Sandoz did submit to support the approval of a product with an established track record in Europe.
Much of the data that Sandoz's application relied upon came from outside the United States. John, what does this mean for future FDA regulatory standards for biosimilars seeking approval?
I think that the takeaway on the clinical studies is that the FDA cares about European history. What I mean by that is, as you said, in this case, Sandoz was able to rely on studies that had been previously performed, which compared their European product, which is actually marketed in Europe as Zarzio, to a EU-approved reference product rather than the Amgen's Neupogen. But beyond the ability of Sandoz to rely on the results of particular studies performed with the EU-approved reference product, the fact that Sandoz's product had been approved in Europe since 2009 also just seemed to generally factor, I believe, into the committee's decision-making. At least one of the committee members remarked that without the product's prior European experience and track record, for at least that committee member, a recommendation on approval would have been a much closer call. So it appears that, as the FDA has previously stated, it is willing to consider and it gives weight to studies that are performed using a non-U.S. licensed reference product, provided that the sponsor is able to provide the supporting rationale and studies for relying on these previously performed studies.
Sonia, I'd like to turn to you here. In addition to regulatory filings related to biosimilars, we're starting to see litigation proceedings. It seems, however, that biosimilar manufacturers may be trying to get around the BPCIA provisions. Is it possible for companies to bypass BPCIA provisions?
That's an interesting question, and I think it's currently trying to be resolved in at least certain aspects of it. And Sandoz has actually taken the lead in testing the meets and bounds of the BPCIA in two important ways. First, before Sandoz had even filed a biosimilar application with the FDA, they actually filed a declaratory judgment action against Amgen in the Northern District of California. And in that case, they sought a declaratory judgment that patents covering Amgen's Enbrel product were invalid, unenforceable, or not infringed. Now, the district court dismissed that DJ action on the grounds that there was no immediate case or controversy between Sandoz and Amgen sufficient for the court to invoke its DJ jurisdiction. That case went up on appeal to the Federal Circuit, and the Federal Circuit affirmed the dismissal of the DJ case. But importantly, with respect to the BPCIA, the Federal Circuit specifically stated that they were not taking any position with respect to whether DJ jurisdiction would exist if Sandoz had actually filed a biosimilar application with the FDA. All that the Federal Circuit did was apply its traditional declaratory judgment case law and determined, like the district court, that there was not a sufficient immediacy or case or controversy between Sandoz and Amgen because there was no application on file and Sandoz did not have the ability to market in the foreseeable future. Celltrion, a South Korean company that is also a biosimilar manufacturer, tried a similar tactic when challenging J&J's Remicade product. But again, in that case, Celltrion, before the district court even had an opportunity to render a decision, actually dismissed its DJ counts and then subsequently filed their own biosimilar application against Remicade. The other way Sandoz is actually challenging the BPCIA involves the biosimilar application that they did file, and Jonathan spoke about previously, related to Neupogen. There, although Sandoz did file a biosimilar application, they refused to provide Amgen a copy of their biosimilar application, despite the fact that the BPCIA specifically states that a biosimilar applicant shall provide the biosimilar application as well as information related to the manufacturing process used to create the biosimilar. So because Sandoz did not provide that information to Amgen, Amgen did two things. First, they filed their own DJ action against Sandoz in the Northern District of California. And that DJ action included not only patent infringement, but also conversion and unfair competition under California law. Amgen also filed a citizen petition with the FDA, seeking the FDA to require biosimilar applicants to certify when they file an application that they will comply with the disclosure requirements of the BPCIA, and further requesting that the FDA not begin reviewing any such biosimilar application until the applicant actually informs the FDA that they had complied with the disclosure requirements. This is interesting because although the BPCIA requires such disclosure, the FDA really doesn't, at this point, require any applicant to comply with any portion of the BPCIA, and they don't require the reference product sponsors themselves to comply with any portions of the BPCIA. So it'll be interesting to see what the FDA does with Amgen's citizens petition and whether they will adopt some sort of certification requirement for biosimilar applicants.
And finally, Sonia, what are the repercussions for bypassing the BPCIA?
Well, that's still up in the air. What the BPCIA says is that if a biosimilar applicant fails to comply with a portion of the regulations, whether it's fair to disclose their application or manufacturing processes, or whether they fail to participate in the patent exchange process that's dictated by the BPCIA, the only thing that a reference product sponsor can do is to file a declaratory judgment action, which is exactly what Amgen did. And in fact, Sandoz is saying that's the procedure that needs to be followed, that all of the requirements in the BPCIA are actually optional, and that the BPCIA does allow for DJ actions in the event someone doesn't want to participate. Amgen has come back and said that while they have the right to file a DJ action, that DJ action is significantly limited because you can only sue on certain patents, but excluded are those manufacturing patents that may cover the process used to make the biosimilar. So again, until the FDA actually renders a decision on Amgen's citizens petition, it seems like the only repercussion for not following the BPCIA is the threat of a declaratory judgment action against the biosimilar applicant.
Our guests have been Sonia Sukduang and Jonathan Davies of Finnegan, one of the largest IP law firms in the world. For more commentary on intellectual property news and issues, to listen to other podcasts, and to receive additional information on the firm, please visit www.finnegan.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Finnegan.